Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You're listening to our summer series, The Book of Job. To get the most out of this series, you'll want to follow along each week with our summer reading plan, which can be found at ccnh.org.
Well, if you missed the reading this week, just so you know, you missed five chapters, 2,255 words, five appearances of life's most important conjunction, but, and three voices. And those three voices are God, and then Job, and then the narrator who kind of brings it all home for us at the end. And I want to talk specifically about a passage in chapter 42 at the end. But before I do, I just wanted to share a few observations with you walking through the text. Look at the beginning of 38 with me. 38 begins, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, 'Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me.'" The first thing that catches my eyes and I want to share with you is that here again in chapter 38, like we saw at the beginning of Job, the covenant name of God is used. That first verse, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm," reads, "Then I am," spoke to Job out of the storm. That covenant name, and I use that to take a time out and give a little commercial. This read through Job has been great this summer. Everybody participating and sharing. And I hope as we head into the fall, we can keep that momentum going. So you got an email from me late last night that has a reading schedule of the next 8 weeks. If you didn't get it, it means you're not on my email list, and give me your email, and then you will be. But if you didn't get it, I printed out 20 or so of these, and it's a schedule that'll have where we're going the next 8 weeks, and a read-along schedule so that you can read ahead, and we can continue doing what we're doing now, which is kind of sharing that read together. And my hope is that it'll be an encouragement. But it's on the eight, there's actually seven, but there's eight that I'm going to talk about, appearances of that covenant name where Jesus speaks of himself using the words "I am" that are found in the Gospel of John. And I think it'll be a great read as we discover more of Christ's identity and his ministry in our lives. But the rest of the beginning of 38 here, this question, "Who is this that obscures my plans, words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I'm fixing to question you." As Vicky talked about, as bracing ourselves for this. I was reminded of a family that we were friends with in Florida. My niece Megan is here, and she knows this family, and she will absolutely attest to what I'm about to tell you is true. My wife and I went to visit our friends Bill and Beth. We're going to have a nice night together after the kids went to bed. And they have a son named Adam who is a strong-willed child, to say the least. So as we sit down, the kids are upstairs in bed, we're having a nice quiet time, but one of the children is moving around above us. You can hear, you know how parents, you can hear the creaking on the floor and all this. And so our friend Bill made several trips up the stairs to encourage his son that he was supposed to be in bed. And this happened several times early on, and Bill was getting more and more frustrated with every trip. So after a few of these, he just went to the bottom of the stairs, and he shouted up to the stairs, "Adam, if you don't stay in bed, I'm going to get the paddle." Silence for about a minute. Then the noises again. Sure enough, Bill grabs the paddle, heads up the stairs, admonishes his son, and administers a little corporal punishment. But as he comes down the stairs, we see that he has the paddle in one hand and a stack of children's books in the other. And we're like, "What's that all about? Was he reading? What was he doing?" And Bill said, "You know, that son of mine took these children's books and stuffed them in the back of his pajamas." So the choice was made. Do I get in bed and sleep? Or do I pad my behind? And this kid chose to pad his behind. Brace yourself. What are you going to do here? Are you going to hear this? Are you going to run? Are you going to stop up your ears? What are you going to do? Brace yourself. Because I'm going to question you, and you should answer me. And then the answer begins. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? And you know, just one after another, as Steve pointed out, you know, almost like an edge to it. You know, you think you're God? Let's try this out. You think you know better than I do? How about this? You know, very, very stern words. As you get through 38 and 39, it's the same over and over and over again. We get to 40. God takes a breath. Job dares to speak. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with me, with the Almighty, correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." When I was a kid, my father would come home and I'd done something. He would come to visit me, you know, to have this talk. And inevitably, as my dad would get angrier, a vein would appear on his forehead that literally split his forehead. And his skin tone would just get redder and redder. It was a scary sight. And I would usually try to head it off. At some point when I could get in a word in edgewise, I'd confess, I'd repent, whatever. Let's just stop this before you get any redder. Don't want you to get hurt here, Dad. Looking scary. But then the Lord spoke to Job further. And he again says, "Brace yourself like a man." We often talk about my dad now that when we were kids, we heard him twice. The first time, he scolded us. Here comes the second battery of scolding. And then when you get to chapter 42, you know, you may remember that we were here in the spring. We were talking about wisdom literature. We were talking about wisdom literature, and we concluded that in the scriptures, when you read wisdom literature, you really come away smarter for having read it. And you remember that that day that we studied wisdom literature and talked about being smarter for having read it, I shared with you that in our band that I play in with Jesse and Dennis, we were looking for some new music to play. Someone suggested we should play some Black Eyed Peas. So we were sitting in Jesse's studio listening to the Black Eyed Peas to see if we could figure out how to play any of their songs. And we listened to a song called "I'm a Bee." And when we finished, Jesse concluded, "I feel dumber for having listened to that." That's the opposite of wisdom literature. So Sherry and I were on our way home from Pennsylvania this week. And you know how it goes when you're on the road and you put on a radio station, but in like 15, 20 minutes, you run out of that radio station's reach, so you hit seek and find another one. Wouldn't you know it, I land on the Black Eyed Peas, and it is another profound lyric, "Boom, boom, pow." You ever listen to that? You feel dumb. Gotta get, gotta get, gotta get, boom, boom, boom. Profound lyrics in the middle. "I'm so 3008, you so 2000 and late." I felt dumb. But see, we've read through this. We've gone beginning to end through Job, through wisdom literature. And think about where you are today. You've caught a deeper glimpse of God. You've caught a deeper understanding of who you are as a human being. You've caught a glimpse, a deeper glimpse of the nature of the relationship that you have with God, God and mankind. You've learned a lot about friends. You may have seen some of your friends in this book. See, we come away smarter and with a clearer picture for having read this. The narrative comes to its conclusion. Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand." You know, when Job is confronted with the reality of who God is and who he is in God's presence, the first thing he does is confess, "It was me. I am the one who did this, who assumed knowledge, who presumed upon God." Verse 4, "You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.'" And here's Job's answer. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. You know, it's in and through this suffering, this affliction, this whole experience that Job has now caught a deeper glimpse, a deeper look at God. You know, stop and think about that. Sometimes when everything's going right, God is all but obscured from your sight. But in and through this experience, sitting on the floor, weeping sore, scratching himself, in and through all this, God reminding him, I'm God, and my plans won't be thwarted. He comes to the conclusion, now I've seen you. I think that might be a profound observation for us to make. Sometimes it's in the suffering and affliction where we can see God most clearly, if we look. Verse 6, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, the idea here is not only has he caught a glimpse of God, but he's caught a glimpse of himself in relation to God. It says that he despises himself. I don't think that means he literally despises himself as he earlier in the book had said, I just wish I was dead. I wish I'd never been born. But I think it's a realization. I've assumed and presumed upon God this time. And now that I have a glimpse, I recognize how very needy I am in his presence. And so he repents. We've talked about that word repent before, that at its root, the best definition is having a change of heart. I ask you, what did Job repent of? What did he change his heart of? Have any of you thought that through? What did he repent? Maybe it was when he said, I wish I'd never been born. Curse the day I was born. Maybe it was that he said, I wish I'd just die. But I would suggest to you that in his heart, it's this picture, this overwhelming picture of who God is and who he is that has him to think differently. Who am I to ask God questions? He's the potter, I'm the clay. He's God and I'm not. And I'd suggest to you that 38, 39, and 40, that's exactly what God is saying. I'm God, you're not. In the epilogue, as was pointed out, the Lord scolds Job's friends. And he says specifically, you've not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. Now, when we read these chapters, we agreed as we came through that they were full of truths and truisms. What was messed up was the certitude with which those friends stated them and then applied them. As Nathaniel pointed out, accusing Job, well, this is what you've done wrong. I want to make a suggestion to you as we turn the page and close the book of Job for a time, that we hear this as a warning. You know, if there's an issue in Christendom that we need to come clean with, it's that in Christianity, all too often we see something and we speak with such absolute certitude about how God views it and how God's wrath will address it, how God will judge, that we ourselves move to that place of being accusatory. Here's a warning. Truth and truisms are important, but our hearts need to stop short of playing God. And that's really what his friends have done. And then it is beautiful that God's prescription for them is to make a sacrifice, bring all the stuff to Job, and have Job intercede for them. And you know what caught me when I read that? We've mentioned it several times through the study. We've noticed how Job's friends never once interceded for him. They had all sorts of words and advice. But through the book, it was Job who prayed, not his friends. And here God says, now, friends, let's let Job pray for you. think there's a lesson for us in that, in interceding. You know, Jesus said, pray for even those who persecute you. A real lesson for us. Jason said he was discouraged a little bit with God's reply. I think on a human account, we all are. God never explained what happened, did he? He never gave Job a behind-the-scenes look. He never answered why. He never produced an indictment and said, Job, these are all the things that you did, because Job hadn't done any of those things to deserve this. His answer was blunt. I'm God. And as we said at the beginning, Job could have run, but he didn't. He knelt down. Carrie Lynn pointed that out. Was it Kristen? One of you in the back pointed out that he knelt down. He submitted. He addressed, God is God and I'm not. And he trusted. He rested in the fact that God is good. Having heard, having seen, his view of God bigger, his view of himself lower, and his heart changed, turned towards God. It's been a good read. You know, we started out with a glimpse behind the scenes. God said, look at this man. He's an example of what it looks like to follow God. Then we saw his life turned upside down, inside out, in pain like we can barely imagine. Although some in here can imagine it. We see him right in the middle of it say, though he slay me still, I'll trust him. And our hearts love that phrase. We want to be like that. We saw him cry out and lament. And we talked about, when is it appropriate for us as followers of Christ to lament? We saw him at times cry out in an imprecatory fashion, would you kick the teeth of my enemies in? And we asked, when's it appropriate for us to be there? And we concluded that it's always appropriate for us to be that brutally honest with our God. This hurts. I don't get it. I need to see you. And we see the story end with the same Job, the same man that God can point to and say, now there's an example. Because through this affliction, he did indeed see God, and it changed his heart. Thanks for reading with me this summer. I hope it's been as much a blessing to you as it has been to me. Let's pray together. Father, you tell us that your word is living and breathing, that it's profitable for our lives, that it teaches, it rebukes, it corrects, it trains. You've told us that it's an imperishable seed. You've told us that when all else fails and falls, your word stands. You've told us, Father, that your word is in living and breathing form in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, you have demonstrated your love and that Christ died for us that we might be in right relationship with you. As we noted earlier, tremendous cost, but a blessing, unimaginable, an indescribable gift. Father, will you take our summer reading, continue to nurture and nourish our souls? Would you help us to move forward having a better understanding of who you are, who we are, and how that changes everything. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you are blessed by this week's episode from the book of Job. To listen to additional podcasts or to learn more about Christ Church, please visit us at ccnh.org.